1 Corinthians 1, verse 31 says, "He who glories, let him glory in the Lord." What does it mean to glory in something? Well, one rejoices with pride about something that they have or have accomplished. This can be either good or bad. Good if what God wants us to glory in is what we're glorying in. Bad if it is what God does not want us to glory in. So we'll take a look at what God doesn't want us to glory in and what he does want us to glory in. Turn to 1 Corinthians, first chapter, and verses 26 through 29. I think the fan is playing with my pages in my Bible. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29. It says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." God did not choose the things that were wise, the things of the world that were wise, but the foolish things. He chose the weak things and not the mighty, so that humans could not glory in his presence. Jeremiah, the 9th chapter and verse 23, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches." So then we're not to glory in the worldly wisdom or worldly power or worldly riches. Let's take a look at glorying in the wisdom of the world. Why shouldn't we glory in our wisdom? Well, because man's wisdom is foolishness with God, as we've read. The wise man's thoughts are futile or worthless to God. And God traps the wise man by man's own wisdom. A Christian needs to become a fool in man's eyes to have godly wisdom. Look at 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verses 18 through 21. "Let no one deceive himself," 1 Corinthians 3, 18 through 21. "If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile or worthless. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours." As we've seen in 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 29, glorying in worldly wisdom can hinder us from being saved. Why? Well, first, because there are many worldly wise men that are Christian. There are not many worldly wise men that are Christians. So obviously, our being wise keeps us from accepting God, from accepting Christ. Why, you might say? Well, because if we're wise in things of the world, do we have that much need for God? We think we're self-sufficient. We're smart, we're wise. We know what to do, what not to do. We really don't need God. Or if we became a Christian and we discover we're wise, we think the same way then. And we can fall away from Him because we become satisfied with our own wisdom. Second, because God chose the foolish thing of the world to put to shame the wise. How about not glorying in worldly power? You know, whatever power we might have here in this world has been granted to us by God. Therefore, we don't have anything to be proud about. I mean, if God gave us a gift, what did we do? Nothing. We just used it. So, the glory should be to God. John 19, verses 10 and 11. And Pilate said to him, You not speaking to me? Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? And Jesus answered, you could not have power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. And in James 4, verses 13 through 16, James chapter 4, 13 through 16, says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your ignorance. All such boasting is evil. Our lives are in God's hands, not ours. So we really don't have any power to boast about. Glorying in worldly power, like we've seen with worldly wisdom, can hinder us from being saved. One, because there are not many powerful men that are Christians. Same thing like there wasn't many that are wise. If we have a lot of power, who do we come to depend upon? Ourselves. Even if we became a Christian and get power, who do we end up depending upon then? Us and our own power. Second, God has chosen weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29. We've read it before, but I've changed it now just to talk about power. For you see your calling, brethren, not many mighty are called, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. God, we could refer to God Almighty, right? So what would our power be? If God's Almighty, our power is not much to boast about. And third, we're not to glory in our wealth, our worldly wealth. You know, being rich doesn't protect us from death. And what is on earth, which is of earth, stays on earth. You know, wealth can be gone in a day. We had that happen to many in 1929 with the crash of the stock market. Many rich men lost everything they had, committed suicide, jumping out of buildings because they glorified in their wealth, but it was gone in less than a day. Look at Luke 12, verses 16 through 21. Luke 12, verses 16 through 21. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And look at James chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower fails, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. We don't have control when we'll die or lose all our wealth. We think we do. We think we control that. But by the example from God's Word, the failure of the stock market in 29, we can see that that's not true. And again, I've reworded 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29 to talk about worldly riches. It says, Not many noble or rich are called, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. You know, riches can hinder us from being saved. Same reasons. One, because there are not many rich men that are Christians. If we haven't become a Christian and we're rich, what do we trust in? Our wealth. If we are a Christian and become wealthy, what do we ultimately trust in? Most of us. He didn't say there's no rich men or no powerful men or no wise men. He says not many. So it's not impossible, but it's hard. And two, God can bring to nothing the things of this earth in an instant. So what does God want us to glory in? Well, as I've used the word boast, the word for glory can be translated boast. And boasting is a form of dishonesty. One praises himself for something God has done and for which God deserves the glory. Wisdom, power, and wealth are gifts from God. We might not think that. We think we worked hard for our wealth, our power, or our wisdom. But who gave us the capability to do that? God. If he didn't give us the ability, or he didn't want us to, we wouldn't have it. God's gifts are reason for humble gratitude, not for boasting. Rather than being proud about something we have done, we ought to glory in what God has done for us. We should glory in God's salvation. The greatest thing he did for us is what? Gave us eternal life. Saved us from hell. Galatians 6, verse 14, Paul wrote, "For God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." We should glorify in the cross. Did we die on the cross? No. Again, it's a gift from God. He paid the price for our sins, giving us eternal life, giving us salvation. Salvation by grace excludes boasting. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." It says we're saved by grace, not works. And we're saved for what? He says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." So we do our good works. Why? Because we're saved. Because we're grateful. Do we have anything to be boasting about? No. Salvation comes to us in Christ through baptism. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So, salvation comes to us from baptism. We put on Christ. Could we put on Christ without being obedient to God? No. Look at Titus 3, 4 through 7. Titus 3, 4 through 7. Baptism, the washing of regeneration, it is itself a gift of God's grace and not a work of righteousness. When the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, towards men appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by the grace, we should become heirs according to hope of eternal life. Justified by grace, and we should become heirs according to hope of eternal life. Again, it points out to us that our salvation, our hope of eternal life, comes from God, not because of our abilities, but because God gives it to us. In Romans, the 6th chapter, verses 3 and 4, by the glory of the Father, we rise to walk in newness of life from baptism. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. By the glory of the Father, we should walk in newness of life. So what's the conclusion then? Well, man has no reason to boast or glory before God. Therefore, we may not glory in worldly wisdom or worldly power, or worldly life, or anything that we have or do, because all that we have and all the ability we have to do things is a gift from God. We boast only in God's salvation by grace. God saved us. He paid the price. As Christians, we can say with Paul, as he says in Romans 15 and verse 17, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. So we can boast that we're saved, but that boasting should be to God. That glorifying should be to God. God saved me. God paid the price. Not me. It came as a gift. And I've accepted that gift. But without Christ and without God, there would be no salvation. No power, no wealth, no wisdom of man could make that happen. We wouldn't have even known how to start. If you think about the plan of salvation, would man have thought of such a thing? I don't think so. So, I'm not saying it's bad to be happy and to rejoice and somewhat glorifying that you're a Christian, But you should be doing that to glorify God and what he's done for all of mankind and what he's done for us specifically. If there are any that need the prayers of the congregation, if you let that be known at the conclusion of the singing of the invitation song, or if you need to come to Christ and to be baptized, let that be known at that time also, and we'll take care of both of these. Let us stand.
102. Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please.